Here we go. We gotta line up, get the links going inside. Amen. Let's do this. Let's declare it together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power, salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. And so in Romans chapter 12, God is speaking to us. And he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 2, I want to concentrate on this. Conform to this world. We are born into a world that is continually trying to conform us to its image. Conformed to the world. When I speak of being conformed, I'm speaking of outer influences that are always working to conform us. Right? That's what conform is. But we haven't been called to conform. We've been called to be transformed. We have been called to be, this is a life of transformation, not confirmation. And God's given us what it takes. Not to respond to this world in a subservient way or to those influences, but to respond to them from a position of authority. To look at these things right in the eye and say, no. 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 It's Nancy Reagan. Just say no. Remember that? Oh, hallelujah. Conform to this world. Well, in order for us not to be conformed to this world, we've got to understand how we are conformed to this world. How those things happen. How does that happen? Well, through outward sources. People. I'll give it to people, man. They'll get you to agree with them about everything. And nowadays, politically speaking, if you don't agree with them, they will make you agree with them. They feel entitled to exert their agenda over yours, like you don't count. But outward sources like people, events, worldly values, the world's system, opportunities, needs, price or cost of things, things we esteem worthy of our attention, peer pressure, popularity, wanting to be popular, wanting to be accepted, being in with the in crowd, going along to get along. All of these are influences that continue to try to shape our thinking, our expectations, shaping that image that we have of ourselves and others, and we even judge ourselves by those standards, which are totally false. They'll pass away with the rest of the world. But they who do the will of God, the Bible says, will stand forever, will abide and live forever. So being conformed, we live in a fallen world. We have a flesh that has been highly trained in the value system of this world. We have a mind that has been highly trained in accommodating the world's standards, the world's values. What the world values, we have to value somehow. And then we'll all pass away. But, says this, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When you renew your mind with the truth, when you know the truth, it'll transform you. Truth will transform a renewed mind, God's way of thinking, God's way of seeing yourself, that inner image of yourself, when you see that image of who you really are in Christ, that new creation that you've become, when you see that in your mind and it starts painting that image of who you really are, and you start reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and you begin to hear the words that Jesus said, and hear them, and hear them, and hear them. And the more you see Jesus in us, the more you're seeing who you really are in your spirit, because that's who you are. Christ in you, the hope of glory is in you. We've got to understand that this is not just concept. This is reality. That we are new creations, not just a little in the image of God, just like God. We are an eternal spirit on the inside, and we have authority over our mind, over our emotions, and over our physical being. But how do you really feel, Tom? Lord said that to me, and I said, don't go there. I don't go by my feelings. If I went by my feelings, believe me, I'd not be standing here in this building. No, I'd be back in my business, making money and all kinds of trips to Europe, whatever. I wouldn't want to go to Europe now. It's hard to go about anywhere now. But that's the way the devil wants it. Fear, 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 fear. He wants to control where you go, what you do. How does he do that? Through fear. But when you are transformed by the renewing of your mind and that image of God is in you, you can walk right into a leper colony and start laying hands on people. And that thing, though, I said to the Lord the other day, I said, you know, she said, well, you know, Jesus laid his hands on it. I said, yeah, he laid hands on the leper. And you know what happened to the leprosy when he touched it? The leprosy died. That's the image that you need to have on the inside of you. That when you come into contact with somebody who has COVID, somebody who has the flu, somebody who has this thing, that you're going to lay hands on them, that thing will die as soon as you touch them. And the words that you speak will go forth, and that too much is coming to me at once here. Do you know Paul was on a ship and was about to be shipwrecked? And an angel appeared to him and said, oh, the Lord has told me you have to appear to Caesar, so you're not going to sink. And by the way, God's given you all of the men on board, and so they'll all be saved because of you. So he said, okay, don't be afraid, guys. We're going to crash, but nobody's going to die. Because the angel of the Lord, you know why the angel delivered that message to him? Because he knew Paul would speak it. And when Paul spoke that message into the earth, angels don't have this kind of authority. Man does. Man has dominion in the earth. That happened in the garden, and that never changed. That's why Jesus had to become a man. Because that's where the dominion is. You are more than a conqueror, folks. You can do exceedingly above all that you can even think. Imagine. Your imagination can grow to the size of God if you want it to. Because he gave it to you for that capacity to contain the thoughts of God. These are God's thoughts right here. These are God's thoughts about you. These are God, this is how he feels about you. This is how he has equipped you. This is how Jesus overcame the devil in the wilderness. This is how Jesus won every fight against the Pharisees and the Sadducees. This is how you will win every fight against the devil and his bunch. This is how you will win the fight over your own body when your body says it's sick, or your body says it's weak. You can't do that. Your mind says that. No, you need to transform your image. Transform your mind. Renew your mind with the truth, and your mind will start casting a new image into your spirit, and all of a sudden that image will take root. And you'll understand. Say what you want, body. Say what you want, checkbook. Say what you want. I know the truth, and the truth will make me free.
That's right.
Free from what? Poverty, sickness, curses, demons, the authority of this world. I feel like I've just come to church today. What about you? This is where the rubber meets the road. I mean, how many people would just, I better go get tested. And then you add another test to the scorecard of the government?
Right.
Here's the scorecard that counts.
Okay.
She said, are you saying we shouldn't go to a doctor? Well, if you want to, I mean, I'm saying you should do what you want to do. But if it was up to me, this is the report that I believe. God's report. Well, would you go anywhere if you were contagious? Did Jesus go anywhere he wanted to heal the sick? Multitudes? He was in the middle. I mean, look, he was in the middle of multitudes that were sick with all kinds of stuff. Image. Who are you?
Right.
Who are you? Who are you? You are who God says you are. You have what he says you have. You can do what he says he can do. And you are seated where he says you're seated. Far above all principalities, powers, mights, and dominions, and every name that's named. You have been raised up together with him. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, you can read this. And you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, and raised us up together with him to be seated with him together in heavenly places, far above all principalities, powers, mights, and dominions, and every name that's named. Even if you're the little toe on his body, you are far above.
That's right.
All of that.
That's right.
You don't have to have some big ministry. All you have to do is have Jesus as your Lord. Oh, let's go to the next scripture here because I'm ready to blast off on something. This is just after Jesus fed the multitude. And it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. It's Matthew chapter 14, and you're starting in verse 22. While he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. You know, this is what you need to do. Don't take a group with you and say, oh, you know what, we need to pray for each other. No, go alone and pray. You and Dad. Let your Savior in on it. He's your mediator. He's your high priest. He'll take your prayers and bring them before the Father. Let the Spirit empower you to keep praying and keep seeking. Okay, so he went by himself to pray. Now, when evening was come, he was alone there. Now, there comes a time when you say amen, and you've got to pick yourself up, and you are by yourself. But what did you just do? You prayed prayers that angels are busy creating things to happen for you. Your prayers have changed you on the inside. Prayers have empowered you, and you're by yourself now. Now, when the evening comes, this is when you put your big boy pants on.
Yes.
Now, when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, that's between 3 and 6 a.m., Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Didn't he say, the things that I do shall you do also, and greater things than these shall you do? This is where the insanity comes. You know, there are other people who have walked on the sea, other than Peter, in the church age. There's books written about it. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to him walking on the sea, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it's I, be not afraid. And Peter said, thank God for Peter, man. Peter said to him, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you in the water. And he said, come. And when Peter came down, and when Peter came down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out and said, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? What you look at determines your outcome. What you look at the onset of every day will determine your outcome that day. He saw the wind boisterous. Now, first of all, you can't see wind. You can only imagine it. And he began, what happened was the waves. And all this, what happened is he took his eyes off of Jesus and put it on the wind and the waves. What he looked at filled his heart. And what you look at fills your heart. And when your heart is full, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks, and it comes to pass, and it starts, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. Why? Because they're filled with things that will grow up and become. Where? In your image, in your mind, in your emotions, they'll start to take control. It's your own words that do that. You give the authority to your body to be sick. Did you know that? And when you take your eyes off of it, and Peter, by the way, wasn't walking on the water. He was walking on the word come. Lord, if it's you, command me to come. He said, come. Do you know what water represents in the Bible? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. That you'd be washed, sanctified by the washing of the water, by the word. The water represents the word of God. When you're walking on the word of God, you're walking on the water of his word. You are walking on his promises. You're walking on in his power. You're walking on in his integrity. Everything that's in the Word of God, when you walk on the Word of God, you are walking on supernatural ability that defies gravity. But if you take your eyes off of the Word and say, what did it say? What? And all of a sudden you're sent to say, I've never been here before, man, I gotta go back. And boom. And you start to sing. But what happens? Say, Lord, save me. Sure. How do you think they got back in the boat? They walked back. I would say Jesus scared. You know what? Peter is dead. But God's always there. When you're walking out, you know, and here's the thing. We talk about the sovereignty of God and everything, and what people have attributed to that. But I know this, that God is sovereign enough. We have GPSs in our car. You ever notice that lady said, make a U-turn as soon as possible? So, I mean, she has an attitude about it. I had discussions with her. Really? I mean, she sounds pretty sassy sometimes. What's she trying to do? She's trying to get me to repent. She's trying to get me to go the other way. And we have like a GPS, like a compass. Like we're getting into that a little bit. Years ago, they had something called a sextant that they would use at sea, and it was measured in 60-degree angles so that you could go by the horizon and the star or the sun or the moon or whatever, and you could tell where you were longitudinally. Does that work? What longitude you were at. And so you could pretty well pinpoint where you were at using these things, because then you could point north, south, east, west, whatever, and you could pretty much pinpoint. And based on the astronomy charts of the Chaldeans that chased the stars, that traced all that, they could tell really, this is in the 1600s, 1700s, that they could determine exactly where they were. It's almost like a GPS system. Did you know that even in the Navy now, they have to have sextants, those things on board every Navy ship? Still, with somebody trying to do, you know, because it's the power grid ever went out and satellites were destroyed? They have to have that. That's how much faith the Navy puts in. Side note, a little rabbit trail. Where you look determines your outcome. But I got to believe that God is sovereign enough that when I make a wrong turn, He can tell me to turn around and do it. Do you get that? That He's still my dad, even when I make a mistake? This word, little, oh ye of little faith, when Jesus said that, you know what that little faith means? It means it comes in spurts. It's not a sustaining faith. It comes in spurts. It'll get you healed. But then if you don't stay, you know, you've got to get that sustaining faith by continually meditating on His Word, continually letting that Word change the image of your heart so that your heart can be filled with His image of you when you speak that image. Will manifest and you'll be whole. Whole. Stephanie? God's saying, maybe you turn it soon, possible. Words are the authority in this world. There's no higher authority than your own words concerning your future, your life. They have the authority to carry life or death. They have the power to create pressure or to obliterate pressure with the power of peace. The power of peace is phenomenal. You ever been in a situation where you just have this peace on the inside and you know everything's going to work out? Well, you can build that. You can, peace is a fruit of the Spirit. You can print it in water and put it in and get bigger and bigger and bigger to the point where you can be in a ship and a storm can be coming and you can release that peace from you just like Jesus did that will swallow up that storm, roll it up in a napkin and throw it away. This is the example that we've been given. If that doesn't settle with you, if you have an argument about that, it's fine. Take it up with the Lord. Don't take it up with me. Because I didn't say it. He did. But words carry life or death. They have the power to create pressure on yourself and others. Don't take thoughts saying, what am I going to do? What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? What am I going to... Don't take those thoughts saying. Yeah. Take His word and say that. He is my full supply. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lord my provider. I have no lack in my life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Right. Yeah. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake, by green pastures and still waters. I now declare that I am in green pastures. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what my surroundings are. I don't care if my life looks like a ghetto right now. You know what? I am in green pastures. Yeah. And I am still waters because Jesus is my Lord. And devil, if you have any argument with that, take it up with him. I'm sure he'd love to say something to you. Oh, it's a good one. You know, Paul knew what it was like to be hopeless. And he wrote this about Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope. You remember in Acts chapter 27, when Paul was in that ship and it was a shipwreck. But before that, they started dumping everything overboard, all of the cargo and everything. Then they dumped all the tackle and gear off of it. They were going to cut all the boats loose and everything, but they held on to them. And it says all they could do, it says all hope of them being saved was taken away. They had no hope. He knew what it was like to have no hope. He was in this, and he could write this thing about Abraham, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Hope is a good thing. Hope is powerful. Have you ever been there? In this country, up until about, let's say, 10 years ago, it was pretty hard to be hopeless in your life. But right now, we can either let hopelessness overwhelm us, or we can dig down on the inside and say, you know what, God's made promises concerning this nation, concerning my situation, concerning me, concerning my marriage, concerning what God has made a determination about this, and I'm agreeing with him. I have hope in a living God. He is a present help in time of need. He said that, and you can do that. Somebody was just trying to call me. Let's turn to Acts 27. It says, now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. You know, I've been out in rough waters before, in Long Island Sound, with 6 or 7 foot waves and a 14-foot penman, a boat, a motorboat, and waves that were just careening us against a lighthouse, and fog came in, and the fog was as thick as pea soup. And I remember one day, my brother and I were real small, 6 or 7 years old, both of them. He's 16 months younger than me. And we were just little kids. My father was spearfishing down, and he didn't know that these swells had come up, you know, the big waves. And we were being bashed against this lighthouse, and some other guys saw us that we needed help, and my father came up, got the engine started, and got us out to a place where, and then the fog rolled in, and we had to get home. Well, in pea soup, fog, he can't see very well. And in about a half hour, 45 minutes, we had completed a full circle right back at the Stratford Shoals again. And we had to get back to, we lived in Long Island at the time. And we had gone in a whole circle and didn't even know it. Because of the fog, because we couldn't see. Well, that's when my father took out the compass and started looking at it, headed down for Oyster Bay. And we didn't even know if we had enough gas to make it at that point. We thought we might be in the middle of the Sound without any gas left because we'd already done that whole route. But we had enough gas and we got it. I was never so glad to see Oyster Bay. But all hope, it just seemed like we were gonna lose this one. And my brother and I were really scared. We were just kids. All hope that we'd been saved taken away, but after long abstinence of food, they hadn't eaten in 2 weeks. Then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you, take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only that of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the Lord, angel of God, to whom I belong and to whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must go. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. You know, it's always good to have a brother close. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as he has told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. And he told them that. God knows where you are. God knows exactly what you're facing. He knows why you're facing it. And like any father, he doesn't care what the past was. You know, the prodigal son's father, he ran towards him. And when you turn your heart to God, he will run to you. He'll send an angel just to tell you, I'm on my way. My guidance system is kicking in. You can crash on this island, but everybody's going to be safe. Everything's going to be okay. Then they got on shore. And man, did they have a brotherhood meeting. They started eating. Sometimes it takes food to get people happy again. God knows where you're at. He knows what you need. But he knows also the cause of it is that when you're out there alone, which image is kicking in? One of despair, one of loneliness, one of hopelessness. What image do you carry with you? Or is it one of the Son of God who can walk on that water? Who can do all things? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Are you being empowered or disempowered? God knows exactly where you're at. Open your heart. Believe that you will hear from him. And if you don't hear it right from him, he'll send an angel. You'll hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. You know, 9/11, there were so many testimonies of people in those towers who received direction from, they heard voices. This way. And everything in them wanted to go this way. But the angel said, go this way. Go this way. And the miracle thing is that out of 50,000 people that are in that building at that time, there was only 3,000 lost. Less than that, actually. But people heard from God. He led them. He guided them. And it doesn't take a 9/11. You may be in a lot less trouble than that. But God always has a plan. Always has a way. When you can't see sun or stars for many days, and no small storm, all hope was taken away, but you have the living hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the image that we need. The image of God in you. That image, let it speak to you. Let that image tell you who you are, because it's in total agreement with the Word of God. Just get it inside of you. Get that Word inside of you.